Blog Talk Radio.
Glory be to God. So listen, we are celebrating tonight, right along, hallelujah, with the Jews all around the world, Messianic Jews, Hasidic Jews, and all the Ashkenazi and the Khazars, everybody that is celebrating tonight. We join in and we celebrate because the Bible declares it is the Lord's feast. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So we're going to move right along, and I want to do opening prayer tonight so that we can get started. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And then, Mother, I'll ask you to do a very short scripture reading, and then I'll play this little song, and then we'll go right into the message tonight. Glory be to God.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Apostle David J. Short, can I ask you to open up in prayer? Are you there, Apostle?
Yes.
Otherwise, I'm just going to have to move right along.
What exactly is a complete breakfast? To some people, it's a smoothie. Others eat.
Okay. So we're going to go ahead and play that song. Well, let me see here. I have Prophetess Franya. Good evening, good evening, good evening, and welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Good evening.
Good evening. Wonderful. So glad that you are able to make it on tonight. Glory be to God. Take time out of busy schedule to come on in with us. Glory be to God. I know that we're trying to give time for a few others to come in. Glory be to God. And what I'm going to have to do is... open up in prayer. Glory be to God. Father, we thank you now. We glorify you. We magnify your name. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you tonight. We thank you for who you are. Because of who you are, we give you glory. Because of who you are, we give you praise. You are the I am that I am, God. You are Yahweh God. Hallelujah. You're the one, hallelujah, who keeps us from day to day. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace and your mercy toward us. Hallelujah. And Father, we just thank you now as we come to commemorate and remember what you have done for us, Father, down throughout the generations. Oh, Father, you said that we are to remember. You told Moses to tell the children of Israel to remember to keep the feasts. Hallelujah. Because they are the Lord's feasts. And so as we come tonight, hallelujah, to share among your people, Father, far and near, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We join in, hallelujah, with the Jews everywhere, the Messianic Jews, the Hasidic Jews, the Orthodox, unorthodox. Hallelujah. We thank you now. We pray that many will come in and get to know you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Glory be to God, and that they realize that Yeshua, Messiah, hallelujah, has come for the first time, and he's coming for the second time. Father, I pray that many will become born again, hallelujah, by the water and by the Spirit, hallelujah. I thank you for the work that you're doing there, hallelujah. I thank you for touching the hearts of the people there, hallelujah. I thank you for drawing them, hallelujah. Father, we just thank you now that everyone that celebrated tonight, early or later or whatever time, hallelujah. We thank you, Lord God, that this feast, hallelujah, on this year, in this 2020, hallelujah, very significant, Father, very prophetic year. And so we just thank you now. We thank you for what you've already done. Father, we thank you for what you're about to do. You have not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And so we thank you now. We ask, Lord God, that you would bless each and every one that is listening to the broadcast and those that are on the broadcast queue. I ask you, Lord God, for miracles, signs, and wonders for them as well, Father, in the name of Jesus. As we are in a season of miracles, Father, I thank you now. Give you all of the glory, all of the honor, and all of the praise. Thank you for covering us with your precious blood, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Yeshua that has never lost its power, still has the power to save, set free, and deliver. And so we thank you tonight We give you all of the glory, Father. Oh, we bless your holy name. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you for what you've already done and what you're about to do in this season, Father. We thank you. We give you glory, and we put it all in your hands tonight. Father, I pray that you will help me as I decrease, that you will increase in me strongly tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yes, God. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father. Oh, God, I thank you now. Hallelujah. Use me to your glory, to be a blessing to your people. I pray that you anoint ears tonight to hear, and Father God, and I pray now that you anoint out their understanding, Father, those who have never heard the story. Father, I pray, Lord God, that it would resonate, hallelujah, around the world within those that are listening, Father. And we just thank you now. We give you all of the glory, all of the honor, and all of the praise in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Before I go into the teaching tonight, I wanted to see if I can get a very short scripture reading while I put a song on here right quick.
All right.
And,
you want the scripture name? All right. The scripture reading will be coming from Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness' sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell into the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Yes.
Glory to God. Well, we thank God for each and every one of you that are joining in tonight. Praise God that it is ran a tad bit late, but we're going to make up for time. We're going to do what we can tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Try not to keep you long. Amen. Praise God. This is a teaching that I try to bring every year to help many of the believers that, you know, in the churches that, you know, that they too will have an understanding of what took place and what we are told to do. Glory be to God, because the Bible says this, we are to keep this feast throughout all generations. Hallelujah. The first feast, the spring feast. And so God is always moving. And it's always a season of miracles. And, you know, we're living in a time now where people are so inundated with this coronavirus. And nothing takes God by surprise. And we know that he's not at all under control. It's in his hand. He knows exactly what to do. Praise the Lord our God. And the children of Israel were facing many situations, and he had a man. Yes, he had a man out there. He had Moses, whom he raised up, sent from the time he was 3 months old. He was sent down the Nile River, the dirtiest river known, and filled with everything else. A lot of muddy and crocodiles and everything else. But his sister Miriam was a young prophetess. She was able to put him into that basket and send him along. However, the young man grew, glory be to God, and were in Pharaoh's palace, learned all that he needed to learn until God was ready to use him and deal with the children, the Pharaoh and the Egyptians. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. This story is always an amazing story to me, and it holds so true for many of us. Hallelujah. We ought to know where God brought us from. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. You ought to know that he rolled back the Red Sea for us. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Many of our lives, we had Red Seas to face. We had Pharaohs to face on the job, and so on and so forth. So this story rings true to most every believer that has ever had anything to face. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I'm going to play a little bit of this song, and I just want to play a tad bit of it, and then we'll move right into the message. It is Total Praise by Brooklyn Tabernacle. I have no rights to this song, but I'm going to play just a little bit of it. Hallelujah. Stop right here. right. Okay, well, I just wanted to play that song for us tonight so that we can praise the Lord our God. Remember that our God is a great God. Hallelujah. And he's worthy of all of our high praises. Glory be to God. Our God is a good God unto us all. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Regardless of what we may be facing, regardless of what we're going through in this season, regardless of what it looks like, hallelujah, God will still be God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. We just thank him tonight for the opportunity to come before you tonight to be able to share with you the story of Passover Seder. Hallelujah. Passover Seder has been celebrating for well over 3,000 years, about 3,500 years. They've been celebrating the Passover. Hallelujah. Passover Seder, the word Seder means order. In other words, it's an order of service that they have. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Is everyone there? Hallelujah. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Praise God. All right. Thank you. Prophet Fran, you can hear me? And Apostle Short, are you there?
Yes, ma'am. I'm hearing you.
Okay.
I can hear you loud and clear.
Okay. Thank you, Apostle. Thank you so much. All right. We're going to move right along into the story tonight, and I try not to keep you too long. The Passover story is a story that's been told for 3,500 years. What is known as the word Haggadah, which means the telling or the retelling of the story of Exodus from out of Egypt into the Promised Land. Remember that the children of Israel were under the Pharaoh's task, the taskmaster Pharaoh and his whip. They were building the pyramids out there in Egypt. They were working terribly hard and mistreated and so on and so forth. And, you know, their cry came before the Lord in the book of Exodus, chapter 2 and verse 23. Glory be to God. God hears the cry of his people. And says, and it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. And they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. When God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. I tell you, covenants are very important. And God is a covenant-keeping God. Hallelujah. So he remembered the covenant that he made with them, and that's what gave them the right, as they call upon God, for him to answer. Hallelujah. He said, and God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. Hallelujah. He heard their cry. I want you to know tonight, glory to God. The Bible said, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, he said, then will I do what? Hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin, and I'll heal their land. So we're in the same situation today, hallelujah, whereby if we cry unto the Lord, hallelujah, he will hear our cry. He said, this poor man cried, and he heard his cry, and he delivered them from all of his troubles. Hallelujah. As we talk about this eight-day festival, it's an eight-day festival, Passover, that's celebrated in the early part of spring. Remember, the Word of God tells us, glory be to God, in the book of Leviticus, Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 5. But I want to actually lay the foundation of this particular message here tonight. And the message is laid in the book of Leviticus. The foundation is laid here in the book of Leviticus, chapter 23. Chapter 23, and let's start with 1, 2, and then 5. And the Bible says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, concerning the feasts of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts. I want you to get that, because a lot of people think, well, because, you know, we we go to church and so on, and we're Christian people, you know, that's what they say. We don't have to keep those things. Those things are only for those people over there, and those people, you know, you see walking around with those things, you know, they wear black all the time, and, you know, they got some hat on their head, and, you know, before we be critical, we need to take a good study of the Bible. We must learn to embrace and understand other cultures. The thing is this, the same Jesus that we say we love and serve and shout about, this Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, is the same Yeshua HaMashiach in the Bible, hallelujah, that was there from the beginning, hallelujah, glory be to God, celebrating with the Israelites, with the Jewish people there, because, you know, remember they were called Israelites, for Hebrew Israelites, and then they were called Jews. Remember that Jesus the Christ coming out of the tribe of the Lion of Judah. We get Judaism. We get Jews, the Jews, okay? So it's not anything far-fetched, not something they're trying to practice. It is part of the culture. And so this same Jesus celebrates with them, but here's the thing. He says in they are my feet. They are called what? Holy convocations. They are also known as moedim. In other words, they are appointed times and appointed feast days that we go before the Lord. Hallelujah. And you should not go before the Lord empty-handed. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So they were always going up to the feast. They were always celebrating feasts. There were eight feasts that they were told to celebrate. And so we kind of got away from some things when it came to the New Testament. We just sort of got away from some things. But let's get back to basics. Let's get back to where God wants us to be. Some people say, well, you know, that was under the law, and we don't have to really do that. No, he said it is his feast. And we should proclaim and we should celebrate Passover. Passover was in the New Testament, you see. So here we are at this point in time in the 21st century, still celebrating the Passover Seder. Passover Seder is also what is known as Pesach. And, of course, as we celebrate over the next 8 days, here are some of the things that happen, because it's split into two separate, they're actually two separate times or two separate nights or two separate days, and they're set apart. And the first 2 days, it's split up. So the first 2 days and the last 2 days, the latter is commemorating the splitting of the Red Sea. See? So it's split up. It's not, okay, so the 8th through the 9th is the first days, and then the last days, which would be, is going through the 16th. So perhaps the 14th through the 16th, they will remember the splitting of the Red Sea. So it goes where... In verse 5 of chapter 23, the Bible tells us that in the 14th day of the first month, at even, which is at evening, is the Lord's Passover. Hallelujah. And then it says here that on the 15th day of the same month, is the feast of unleavened bread unto the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. And in the first day you shall have what is called an holy convocation. Holy convocation is what is known as a dress rehearsal. In other words, you're preparing, just as they do Feast of Tabernacles. Feast of Tabernacles is really pointing you to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even though it is an Old Testament feast, it points to something. We have to remember that the Old Testament, hallelujah, is written for our learning. These things were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. In the Old Testament, there are promises manifested in the New. So when you talk about, like, Feast of Tabernacles, the promise in the New comes from the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4 and 16, where the angels shall sound the trumpet and the dead in Christ shall rise first and so on. That's the dress rehearsal that they're doing when they're doing the Feast of Tabernacles. So that's why he called it a holy convocation. It's practicing. You see, so you're practicing for him to come. Now, we're living in a time where we say, well, okay, we know Jesus is soon to come. So what do? They're still celebrating the Passover. Passover is, like I said, celebrated in the early spring for the duration of the 7 to 8 days. And so it commemorates their emancipation of the Israelites from slavery in ancient Egypt. Amen. It's observed by avoiding the unleavened bread. It's highlighted by meals. And we'll talk about those meals. The meals were made up of the matzah, wine, the 4 cups of wine that is taken, and bitter herbs, and so on and so forth. And you have this observance, which includes what is called the Paschal lamb, which is known as the roasted lamb, which is roasted and eaten at the Seder on the first night of the holiday, like tonight. The first night of the holiday, that's where you would roast the lamb, you would get out, you would boil your eggs, you would have salt water to remind them of the eggs, to remind them of hardship, the salt water to remind them of the sea, the salt sea. Then there are other things that they use, like bitter herbs, and they would use what is called horseradish to remember the tears and so on and so forth. Then you have your sweet things that you would eat, like carrots. You know, you would do carrots and apples. You could put a little honey in there. You can put some raisins in there, and you mix that up, and you make that with a little bit of mayonnaise, and you sort of mix that, and you leave that set on the table. So there are different things that are on that plate, and everything represents something that they have gone through. So the first 2 days, and then the latter two, of course, as I said before, they would remember the splitting of the sea. The whole point about this is to remember. See, the problem is we as a people, we have a tendency of forgetting. Yeah, we take Black History Month and we take 1 month and we try to push everything into 1 month. But we never really, really tell the story. See, but this here, these people tell the story. They tell the story to their children every year, every single year. It never fails. So for 3,500 years, they've been telling the story. On that table, you have holiday candles that are lit. And then there's a place there where women, you know, the head of a house, the head of the household allows the wife to light that candle. And the reason being is that in Judaism and in the Jewish culture, they hold women in very high esteem. So they allow the woman to light the candle and to say the prayer, which is called the holiday candles, which are lit at night. It's called the Kaddush, and the holiday meals are both on both nights. There is something called a chametz. The chametz is, it means that you can't have grain, so it's unleavened, so you have no grain. You have what is called no barley, no meat, anything that has like oats or spelt or any of those derivatives, you just can't have it. No fermentation of anything. So they have to rid their homes. That's another thing that they do. They just rid their homes of chametz. Why? Because it is a sort of what is called spring cleaning. Hallelujah. It's springtime in Israel. So what they do is they clean house, just like you would do spring cleaning here. Hallelujah. And so you have this this meal, which is the focal point of the Seder. As they sit there, they would eat the matzah, and which is the unleavened bread. And then if you look at matzah, when you look at the matzah, you see that matzahs have very thin holes. There's very small holes. And that reminds us, hallelujah, of the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah 53, hallelujah, that says that he was wounded for our transgression. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Isaiah 53 and verses 5 says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. So every time we look at the matzah and we see those pinholes, we have to remember that he suffered for us. We have to remember that he was bruised for our iniquities. We have to remember that they even pierced him in his side while he was at that cross. By the same who put the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Hallelujah. And Jesus the Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, is the one who became our Passover. He was our Passover lamb. That is, he was our Yom Kippur. You know, they celebrate Yom Kippur as well. So he had became that unblemished lamb. Hallelujah. No one else could have gone, hallelujah, for you and I. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about the other thing that they have, which is the bitter herbs. The bitter herbs, as I said, to commemorate the bitterness, the hardness, the harshness, the ill treatment that they had to endure with Pharaoh while they were there building the pyramids and building blocks and building everything, even without slime. At one point, they had to build and make bricks without slime. They were whipped. Hallelujah. They were beaten. They were killed. They were just went through horrendous things. Hallelujah. And then you have the cups of wine, which is known as the royal drink, to celebrate them from freedom to slavery. I mean, to freedom from slavery. Now, if we turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 6, here's the story. And I promise I won't be before you too long, but I want to bring you to the point where we are today, and that's where I'm trying to get to quickly. Glory be to God. In the book of Exodus, chapter 6, and verse 6, let's go there right quick. Hallelujah. Exodus 6 and 6, it tells us, glory be to God, it says, wherefore, say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgment. Verse 7, I want you to stick a pin in that one. Verse 7, it says, and I will take you to me for a people, and I will be with to you God, a God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Hallelujah. Verse 8, it says, and I will bring you into the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And I will give it you for an heritage, because I am the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Even in today, I want you to see this, because I want you to help you to understand something. God sent the children of Israel into captivity several times. But in this particular instance, I want you to see this because, you know, if you don't, they say history is something, if you don't pay attention and if you don't really remember the past, they said you're doomed to repeat the past. That's how history is. And I see it as things coming full circle now. Are you with me? This situation here with this coronavirus. What I want people to understand is that whenever God sends his people into captivity, he knows what they're going to go through. He knows what will make us. He knows what will break us. He knows what we will come out on the other side with. The Bible said, no cross, no crown. So a lot of people are looking at this story like, wow, you know, they really went through a lot. But God is the one. He sent them into captivity. But one thing I want you to understand is once he sends you into captivity, even though you have gone through so much, he is the kind of God that he, when you cry unto him, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord God, he brought them out. He sent them a deliverer. He didn't only bring them out, but once he brought them out, this is what he did. He turned right around and he dealt with the people who had them in captivity. Why? Because he sent plagues. He sent plagues. That's how he was dealing with them. Because every time that he sent Moses over to Pharaoh, Pharaoh, he said he would harden his heart. But then again, Pharaoh was not readily getting up off of the children of Israel. He was still hard. He was so hard on them. Hallelujah. He was what they call the taskmaster. So they were under his whip. So they were feeling it. They were feeling this, you know, all that was being done unto them. It hurt them. And, you know, sometimes our parents have to give us a good whipping before we learn. You know what I'm saying? And I believe they got such a good whooping enough that when some of them, you know, when they came out for real. Glory to God. When they came out, I believe they came out with an understanding. Most of them did anyway. So the thing is that while they were in captivity and while they were going through all that they were going through, God heard their cry. And I believe that God is hearing our cry. You know, we as believers, if we continue to cry out to God, if we continue to seek after God, if we continue to seek after righteousness, hallelujah, glory be to God. I believe God will bring us out, hallelujah. And when he brought the children of Israel out, the Bible said not one of them were sick, not one of them were feeble among them. Amen. So in other words, what I'm trying to get at is to tell you that even though we may be seeing this coronavirus situation here, don't let it throw you, but utilize that time to serve God. Utilize that time to get into the Word of God. Utilize that time to study, glory be to God, because this is a great time that we're in. Is that when you look back at what happened to the children of Israel and how they were, you know, gone through so much, but yet they had to trust God. They had to trust God. So when we look at this story tonight, glory be to God, it's so much that when you sit at that table and you see that piece of meat, that lamb, you remember that this was the Passover lamb, Jesus the Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, that gave his life for you and I. And he was the only one that could have redeemed us back to the Father. It is only his holy, potent blood that could have redeemed us. You know, during that time, it was putting the blood on the doorpost. Hallelujah. That's the only thing that saved them. That's what redeemed them. And the Old Testament, they used the blood of the lamb was unblemished. Yes. But now, in our time, it's not going to be the blood on the doorpost. Glory be to God. It is going to be, do you have the mark of God? Not mark of the beast, but the mark of God is when he looks at you, when he sees you, does he see the blood of Jesus on you? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Does he see your heart? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So we are in that time. I just wanted to stop to make a pause there to show you that even now, what we're going through, glory be to God, I believe that if we cry out to God, hallelujah, I believe God will bring us out just the same. I believe he can put an end to the virus just the same. But you see, the thing is here, as I think on this story as well, while he were bringing them out, before he brought them out, he sent what? He sent judgment. Glory to God. You have to remember that there were some things. He sent what? 10 plagues? He sent 10 plagues before he can actually bring them out. And let me tell you something. Some of those Israelites were affected by those plagues. Some of us, when we don't listen, we are hearing, stay in your homes, don't go out, this, that, the other, but we're still trying to go out. We're still trying to have church. We're still trying to, you know, at this point in time, I'm thinking to myself, you know, when God sent those plagues, they were told just the same to stay in their homes. God sent plagues, 10 plagues in Egypt, and it still didn't move Pharaoh. The last one did. But some of the children of Israel, they were still rebellious, and so some of them died. There were 4 of them that hit, that they died. Now, the number 11 is a representative of judgment and disorder. We see a lot of disorder these days. We see a lot of things happening. And so I'm saying to you, with all of this disorder that we're seeing, you're looking at judgment as well. You're looking at judgment, hallelujah, that's coming from God. This judgment is on not only on the world, this judgment is on the church as well. So I'm saying to you, with the plagues that were sent, there were actually 11, because the number 10 represents order and commandments and responsibilities. So with the, I would say, 11 plagues, and I'll tell you what the 11th one was. The first plague was the plague of blood. Now, I'll tell you what they do at the Passover table when they're sitting and they're having the matzah, the egg, the parsley, the parsley dipped in, which is called karpas, and they did it in, they put that in salt water. They dip it in the salt water twice and eat it. That's the first thing that they would eat. This is what they do while they're sitting at the table. They have that cup of wine, and they take their finger and dip it in the cup of wine. And it is to represent every plague that was sent. So in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 7, verses 19 through 21, was the plague of the blood. So what they would do is they dip the hand in the wine, the finger, and they call each plague the plague of the blood, and they strike with the wine from the glass as they dip their finger in there, and they sort of just sprinkle it. So in other words, they put the blood on it. Do you follow? And then it comes down, they say, well, the plague of the frogs in Exodus chapter 8, verses 1 through 7. And they do the same. And they go all the way down. So then it's the plague of the lice, and then the plague of flies, then there's the plague of the marine. And then those are diseases and pestilences. And you notice that a lot of cows or a lot of their cattle just die. And so we're seeing a lot of that this time as well. And then they have the plague of the boils. Then it's the plague of hail. Then it's the plague of locusts. And then it's the plague of darkness. And then it's the plague of the firstborn. And so every time they call out each plague, they would sprinkle the blood, which is what by dipping their finger into that juice or wine, and use that as a representative of the blood of Jesus. And then the very last plague, I bet nobody ever told you, it was the overthrowing at the Red Sea, found in the book of Exodus, chapter 14, verses 24 through 28. And so Israel was delivered from the judgment that fell upon the firstborn of the Egyptians by the blood of the Passover lamb. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The deal to say 10 plagues. I know the Bible tells you 10 plagues. But when you look a little further, you got to dig a little deeper, because the number 10 does not represent judgment. It represents law, commandments, order, the 10 commandments, the 10 virgins, 10 lepers. And there were 10 plagues, but there was an additional, which is that 11th plague, which is Pharaoh being drowned in the Red Sea. So each year, as this story is being told, and as they sit around and they explain and they tell it to their children, which is something that we need to do, Because Moses clearly says, where God tells him to speak to the children of Israel and tell them. And then the thing is this story. All of these feast days, you know, are the Lord's feast days. They're his. So when we celebrate, remember that we're celebrating his feast days. And we have to tell the story. And we have to tell the story every year as we celebrate. Hallelujah. Now, as they sit to the table and they read all their stories, there's a separate, I want you to know, during this traditional service, there is a separate chair that is set out. A separate chair that is set out for whom? Elijah the prophet. Elijah the prophet is told in the book of Malachi that he would return and he would come before the Messiah comes for the second time, of course. And so when he comes, glory be to God, what it is they set aside this chair. They have the wine that's there, the matzah and everything for him. And that is just a reminder to them that the prophet is coming back, Elijah. Hallelujah. And so they set aside that table. There's no one sitting there, but what they do is they open the door in the wee hours, like in the midnight hours, and they wait for Elijah the prophet. They know that he's not coming right away, but they do it as a form of a part of the Passover Seder. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And there's so many different things that they celebrate and so many different things that they do during the celebration. There's even a customary of washing of the hands. They wash their hands before the meal. Water is there on the table, and they what they do is just, you know, wash their hands, and they wash their hands twice. It's a ceremonial thing that they do. It's a ceremonial working, which means you would take a pitcher of water and you would place that on the table. That's just to wash your hands. You dry it with the same white linen napkin. And, of course, as I said, the first thing that they do, part of the meal, they take what is called karpas. Karpas is known as, they use parsley, and that which carries a very special meaning, that's dipped into salt water, and that represents the Red Sea. Amen? So, and then the second time they dip it into the water, the salt water, that tells you it's the Egyptians being drowned into the sea. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But there's a special napkin that they have also that's called the afkoma. The afkoma is a napkin that with three separate packets. It has three separate packets. And what it does is it's a 2,000 years old part of the service that they do. It's like over 2,000 years. So the book of what they call matzah, they put the whole, they put like three separate pieces of matzah into these pockets, but they only use the one in the middle. See? They only use the one in the middle. And it is broken. They take that one in the middle, and they actually take the one in the middle, hide it in the napkin, and they put it away. In other words, they hide it. In other words, they take one of the children are given that napkin to go hide that napkin. What that represents is when they buried Jesus. When they buried Jesus, they buried him and they wrapped him in what? White linen. That's a representative of that. And which reminds us of Isaiah 53 with the holes in the matzahs, which is he was pierced for our transgressions. The suffering that he had, the cruelty that he had, those are the things that they remember. You know, we ought to remember what God has done for us. A lot of the times we just go off and we tend to have a tendency of forgetting what he has done. He has done so much for many of us. Hallelujah. But we have a tendency of forgetting what he has done. We are never to forget. Do they ever forget? No, they never forget. They just seem to be the most blessed people. I believe they own all of the banks, Hollywood, all over the world. I don't believe I've ever seen a poor Jew. I don't think so. Even when I lived in Brooklyn, I have never seen them wanting. And sometimes you start to think to yourself, well, what is it that they do that we don't do? Why are they so blessed? Well, this is the reason why they're so blessed. They keep the feast days. They continue to tell the story from generation unto generation. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And there's some things that we do they probably laugh at. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But the Seder, tonight I wanted to share that story with you, that the Passover Seder, hallelujah, is one of the services that is held yearly. It's an annual service. It is something that we also can keep. Hallelujah. We're not exempt from keeping the Passover. Exodus chapter 12, hallelujah, glory be to God. There's also a blessing. There's also a prayer. Now, Exodus chapter 12 and verse 8. Let me go there quickly. Hallelujah. Because I don't want you to go away with no scripture at all. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 8. And it says here, glory to God. Exodus chapter 12, it says, you know, Passover instituted by God. God is the one that instituted the Passover, not us, not the Christian, not the Jew, not the Hebrew Israelites. It was God. Hallelujah. And let's go back here to verse 6, because it says, and ye shall keep keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. It says, and they shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. He said, they shall eat, verse 8, the flesh in that night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs, they shall eat it. He says, here's what he's telling you also. There's a way to eat the Passover lamb. It says, eat not of it raw, nor sodden. He said, nor sodden at all, with water, but roast it with fire. His head and his legs, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall not let nothing of it remain until in the morning, and that which remain of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus ye shall eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and you shall eat, and you shall eat it in haste, for it is the Lord's Passover. So whose Passover is it? It is the Lord's. He told them that they're to eat it with what? In haste. And that they're to eat it with bitter herbs. So the marar, M-A-R-O-R, you remember that Naomi, when she left Bethlehem and she went to dwell somewhere else, and she said, you know, she felt the Lord was angry with her, and she said, you know, just call me bitter. In other words, she said, just call me Mara, and that's what the word bitter comes from, Mara. Amen. And so they have to eat it with that bitter herb so that they would remember the bitterness, the hardship. Hallelujah. This is not just done just because this is done because it's something they were told to remember. And it goes for us as well. And this is why I bring it every year. I try to share the story every year, simply because church folk read the Bible however they want to read it, but they don't want to follow through on certain laws and certain principles that are still applicable to us today. You see? But because they were delivered by God, it was a joy to remember. It was a joy to remember how they got out of Egypt. That's the reason why they eat what is called karosa. Karosa is the apple mixed with nuts, and, you know, it's the apples with the nuts mixture represents the mortar and the bricks that they had to make with slime. So that's the reason why you get your carrots and you put your, you put a little bit of mayo in there, you put a tad little bit of water in there, you put a little bit of raisins in there, you cut up a little apples and nuts and stuff, and you make it into this sweet kind of dessert so that you can remember that now you're eating something very sweet and it gives you joy. Everybody likes sweet. Sweet makes kids happy anyway. And then they do what is called a halal sandwich. This is like one of the last things that they do. The halal sandwich is you dip a piece. You now go back to the napkin and you take a piece of matzah. And you take the matzah and you dip it into the karosa and the bitter herbs. And you make a sandwich and you eat that. And that's kind of sort of like the last thing that they do. Glory be to God. And then they drink some more wine. Hallelujah. Or grape juice. Hallelujah. So we thank and praise God tonight as I try to bring you most of what it should look like on your plate, how it is to be prepared. And most churches, I believe, should have a night of Passover Seder, and the pastors or the deacons or so can prepare that lamb and learn how to prepare it and get into having service every year. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, Jesus came, you know, for what? Both Jew and Gentile. No one is left out. Gentiles were grafted in, and so we are able to participate in Passover. In the there's another feast that we should keep. So not a feast day that we should keep. It's Feast of Tabernacles, Pesach, and Pentecost. Those are three that I mentioned so far. We don't have to keep Yom Kippur because he became our Yom Kippur. Hallelujah. Rosh Hashanah is another feast day that we should keep. Hallelujah. So the more that we can teach and bring these things into the New Testament believers, I think it's something that we can not just put together, that we see in the Bible that is workable. It is something that we should do. It is not something that we think we should do, but it is the feast day. And as I laid the foundation by telling you that in the book of Leviticus, chapter 23, he said it is the Lord's feast. And he told Moses to tell the children of Israel. And then furthermore, he says that we have to keep it, those feasts, unto all generations. What part of all don't we understand? Hallelujah. Glory to God. There's one more thing. The children, while they're around, you know, children do ask questions. And the children had a couple of questions to ask. You know, while kids are there, they're taking part of the feasts and so on and so forth, they ask questions like, why do we do what we do? And these are questions that even, you know, we should be asking. And when our children ask us questions, we have a tendency of dismissing them. We have a tendency of telling them, oh, I'm too busy, go the other way. But no, they ask questions, and they always ask the question. And the questions are, why do we eat matzah? Why do we eat bitter herbs? Why are we relaxing as kings? Those are the questions that these children would ask at the Passover Seder service. And they actually, in actuality, what they do is they kind of play it out and they let the children step up and ask questions. And the older ones, they answer the questions by telling them why. Now, that's a good example for a lot of us who just dismiss our children when they ask us an intelligent question. What we may term as being silly may not be silly. It says, children ask. And they always ask that question, why do we eat matzah? And we eat matzah to remember what? The suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was pierced for our iniquities. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And why do we eat bitter herbs? Oh, that is to remind us, of the time that we had. That is to remind us of the hard place we were in. That is to remind us of the tears we had to shed. And why do we relax as kings? We can relax now because we're free. We are free now. We are free. Yahweh God has freed us from Pharaoh's whip, from the taskmaster Pharaoh, from all of the hardships that we had and our foreparents had. That God brought us out, brought them out, so we remember what our foreparents had to endure. And so the children are now satisfied with that answer. They would now go back and sit in their seats. Glory be to God. But, there are questions that need to be asked. And God didn't just choose Israel just because. He said that he loved them. He said, remember, he said when they were small in number, he loved them. He chose them. God said in his word that you did not choose me. I chose you. I chose you. Leave it up to us. We would not choose Jesus. But in the book of John, he says, I choose you. Hallelujah. That you would go forth and you would bring forth fruit and your fruit would remain. But I choose you. Say, with love and kindness have I drawn thee. Glory to God. If we hear God had to wait on us, to love him. A lot of us, he would wait long. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of us, we don't love him. We love him only for what he can do for us. Hallelujah. Not seeing anyone in particular on this land, but that's just man's way. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But we thank and praise God tonight as I come to the end of that story. And, after that, they've had communion, Passover, all in one that night. Glory be to God. So we thank and praise God that even with communion, the church can stand some teaching. So I'm going to teach on communion, how it is to be taken, and the error that we see in the churches today. Glory be to God. I'm going to bring that teaching another night, seeing it is the season. See, I can go on and I can break this up into 8 nights because it's worth the information. Hallelujah. It's worth the information when we think about what God has done for us. Hallelujah. When you see what is going on in Israel today, when you see, even the clothing that they wear, a lot of people don't understand why they do what they do, but they want to do what they see. However, there are certain things that they would do that we cannot do. It's not for us. It's for the Gentile nation. Now you have natural Israel and spiritual Israel. However, when you see them with the tallit. A lot of people like to wear, a lot of Christians like to wear tallit. But the tallit has, on those, on the tallit, there are 613 commandments. I'm asking, can you keep 613 commandments? The answer is no. We don't have that capability to keep 613 commandments. We can't even seem to keep 10, much more. 613. So So the reason why they wear the tallit, hallelujah, most of the rabbis, they wear the tallit simply because when they go to the Wailing Wall, what they're doing is they put that tallit over them to sort of remind them when they were traveling in the wilderness, when they had to be in tents, what they call Feast of Tabernacles or Feast of Booths. What they did was they were in these booths. So it reminds them when they put the tallit over their head as if they're in booths. In other words, as if they're separated from the world, as if they only want to hear God's voice. So they've sort of shut out everything. But the Bible says when you pray, enter into your secret closet, that your Father who hears you in secret will reward you openly. And that's what that's all about. So for the people who just run out and spend a whole lot of money purchasing a tallit, that's not going to save anybody. That's not going to save us. You can have a relationship with God without the tallit. Hallelujah. And some people just go overboard. Hallelujah. I said, well, you go ahead and spend your money. That's what you want to do. But I could get a sheet and put it over my head if I want to. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So I thank and praise God tonight. Hallelujah. For those that stopped by tonight and wanted to enjoy this teaching tonight, glory be to God. Our God is a good God. Our God knows our needs in spite of Corona. God has done the same things over before, and what he has done before, he can do it again. Coronavirus ain't got nothing on God. God knows how to stop the plans of the enemy. Hallelujah. So we continue to pray. We continue to keep the what he tells us to keep, how we were supposed to live. I believe that we'll be doing just fine. We know that certain things must come to pass. But in the meantime and in between time, a lot of Christians do not keep the Passover Seder because they don't understand it. So I think it's time that the church begin to teach it. Because look, now we've come around full circle. We come around full circle to the point where this Passover is like none other that I could remember. This particular Passover. Never have we ever seen the churches and the synagogues at the same time being closed, shut down. I believe all over the world, wherever people are, they're keeping the feast day in there because they're 8 days. 8 days for Passover. 8 day celebration. Hallelujah. Most people just worry about the first night and that's it, but there's more. Hallelujah. There's so much more to this. And I just love Passover because I always remembered that my mom, while I were a teenager, my mother used to work for some Jewish people in Brooklyn. And that was like her little side job, a little extra that she did on the weekends. And she went and cleaned their homes. And every time she went to clean their homes, of course, she was paid, but that's not the issue. I would see how hard she had to work. And then I would see how much they would call her to go to one sister's house and another sister's house because they just loved her and loved the way she cleaned. And I remembered how they would not use, they would clean the entire home and no dust is supposed to be in the home and all such like. You know, and those things I was looking at and I was wondering, what is it that they do and what is it that they're doing? And now I come to find myself keeping the Passover. Hallelujah. And then what I noticed is that there's no dairy with meat. They don't put it in the same vicinity, in the same sink. They have separate sinks for, you know, dairy and another side of the sink for meat. Meat and dairy just don't mix together. Hallelujah. So we just thank God tonight that there is much that you can learn. And the feast days, as God said, as we laid the foundation, that in his word he told Moses to tell the children of Israel. He said, well, we're not the children of Israel, so we can't keep the feast days. No. This story has been told for 3,500 years. And the Bible says in the book of Exodus, it says there that, in the book of Leviticus, chapter 23 and verse 2, he said this is the Lord's feast days. Not the Jewish feast days, not the Baptist people feast days, not the Church of God by faith feast days, none of that. That's very clearly. It says, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them concerning the feast of the Lord. Feasts are appointed times when you meet with the Lord. And when you come before the Lord, you don't come empty-handed. The which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts. Even these are my feasts. And then the first feast that is mentioned is Passover. That's a spring feast. It says in verse 5 of Leviticus chapter 23, it says, in the 40th day of the first month at evening is the Lord's Passover. It's the Lord's Passover. And another scripture, it says the 14th day of the month of Nisan. So you have to get out the Jewish calendar to find out. Remember that their calendar, the Hebrew calendar, and the Gregorian calendar are different calendars. And so those days, those holidays and those feast days, they fall differently. Now, I do believe that sometimes the feast days fall like a week ahead or a week later or 2 weeks before and so on and so forth, depending on the moon. So there's a lot to learn. There's a lot to understand about our God. There's a lot to understand about the Bible that a lot of people don't take the time out to. So as we have this time to share, and I want you to know I had my Passover Seder meal. I did my roast lamb. I did the parsley and the salt water and the egg for the hardships and everything and which is the carpus for the parsley, and parsley for carpus. I did the horseradish for the bitter herbs. You know, I did everything. And had Passover, joyous communion, had matzah, and grape juice. So I did my meal today, this evening. So I'm thankful. I am grateful all that the Lord has done. Hallelujah. And he will continue to do for you all. Continue to hold up, the things that God told us to do. Just like the Jews, they do. They follow those feast days. They do their feast days. In fact, some of them, they laugh at us because there are certain things that they don't do or we do that they won't do. They laugh at us when we come with the first fruit offering. They laugh at us when we talk about paying tithes. Because they understand it better than we do. Do you understand? Yes, they understand it better than we do. They know that there's no national temple. And they know that there's no Levitical priesthood here anymore. So they think, wow, they don't know their Bible. And then we, on the other hand, we said, oh, they don't know their Torah. But we have to come to a common ground, because you have natural Israel and spiritual Israel. God is concerned about both. Hallelujah. We thank God we made pretty good time tonight. Kind of pushed it a little bit, pushed the button there a little bit, but it was good. It was good for us to understand, because I do teach on the other feast days. There's no reason why I can't share on on this feast, which is the Lord's Passover.
Yes.
No reason why we can't. But we say we love him. We say we love this Jesus. And we even call him Jesus. His name is Yeshua. Well, they both names mean the same, mean salvation. Hallelujah. We bless God that we know come to know. See, the church before, as I was saying to someone earlier, keep people in ignorance and in bondage. They don't want people to know. Hallelujah. They only tell you what they want you to know. You see, that's why the church is in the state that it's in. Because the truth is not being told. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But the truth is going to come out one way or the other. Because it is only the truth that will make us free. Only the truth. Nothing else. A lot of things that we're doing in the house of God, that's why we're shut down. We don't know if a lot of churches will even have their keys back. We don't know. We pray that tonight many have come to know Christ. Many have come to know Yeshua HaMashiach, the pardon of their sins. So tonight, as I ask you, if you don't know Yeshua, don't know Jesus, the Christ, in the pardon of your sins, I ask you tonight, I plead with you tonight, to give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. It would be the best thing you've ever done. The Bible declares that he's not willing that any should perish, but at all would come to repentance. You see, he's coming and he's coming again. So either get right, get ready, and be prepared. In spite of whatever, many are gone by this coronavirus, at least so they say. But many have died. We don't know where the soul will rest, whether with Christ eternally or whether in hell eternally. Because there are only two places you can go. See, he came for the first time. I want you to know that. The people in Israel who don't believe. You know, this program goes out throughout and is heard in Israel. And I'm saying to you, if you don't know him tonight, with everything that you see going on, even with the synagogues being shut down, it behooves you to turn to Yeshua. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Then repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sins. Hallelujah. For the remission of your sins, for the removal of your sins. He's not willing that any should perish. He said if you come to him, you must first believe. And when you come to him, hallelujah, and you ask for forgiveness, you must ask. In his son's name, his son has a name. It is Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. Ask him. Ask him in his son's name, and he will pardon you. You know, I feel like this is the last call. Hallelujah. To those of you out there, it may be the last call you heard. It may be the last time you hear someone asking to give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I ask you tonight, if you don't know him in the pardon of your sins, do ask him to forgive you, and he will abundantly pardon you. He says, no man comes to the Father but by me, meaning but by the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. Hallelujah. And if you come, and you ask him to forgive you, he forgives you, and he never remembers anymore. Hallelujah. He says, cast your sins into the sea of forgetfulness, and he will remember it no more. He won't bring it up. Hallelujah. So I'm asking you tonight, hallelujah, to give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn everything over to him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He's not willing that you should perish. Hallelujah. Except if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. But they that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Remember, he told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Hallelujah. By the water and by the Spirit. Glory be to God. Believe in the finished work at the cross. Only believe. Hallelujah. Only believe. Glory be to God. Well, I believe that we are through tonight. I don't have anything else that I want to share. I'm going to come back and I'm going to do another teaching. I'm going to do a teaching on communion and the way that we take communion in the churches today. And is it scriptural? And are we examining ourselves before we take communion? It's a very hard subject. It's a very hard topic. So I'm going to come back and I'm going to do that, God willing, tomorrow evening. Glory be to God. Is there anybody, anything that you would want to ask or share at this time? You may go ahead and do so. You still have time tonight. Praise God. Anybody?
Praise the Lord.
All right. Our hearts and minds are cleared. And glory be to God. I thank you for your sacrifice tonight. Just to be able to come out. Pardon me?
I said it was good, yes. Very good.
Oh, bless God. Bless God. I thank God for those that came in tonight. It really is a blessing, you know, that you took the time to come out. You know, a lot of people would be doing Good Friday and so on and so forth. I might want to talk about the amount of days as we calculate those days. Where do those days that they're talking about come from? What winds up to be 3 days if you started on Friday? So I don't know. Just not enough teaching in church, and so people are misunderstanding, miscalculating, even to fasting. They the Bible says in the evening and the morning were one day, the evening and the morning were one day. Hallelujah. So we got to count the days properly before we can remember that he had the last meal with them, and then yeah, communion with them, simply because everything was there on the table. Everything. Celebrating of the Passover. Listen, Jesus ate. The people ate. He was always about feasting. He was always about celebrating. So we need to celebrate him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We need to celebrate him. We always ask, well, why do the Jewish people, why do you always have some celebration? No, that we need to celebrate Jesus the Christ. We don't celebrate him enough. We get in the house of God and we think that little pity-pat praise we got going on, that ain't no praise. Hallelujah. You got to go start crazy before you praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I tell people, have you ever seen the Jewish people when the synagogue on Saturdays and the Sabbath, have you ever seen them really praise God? Have you ever even seen them dance in a wedding? My God, those people can dance. Those people can dance. Glory be to God. I mean, when they dance, they dance. Hallelujah. And some of them there, they're just as hip as anything else. You could rap more than some of them. You know, there was a Jewish fellow. He was a rapper. And I think now he's turned to being a minister. God called him. And I can't remember his name. I think it was Jason Sobel, but that boy can rap. You hear me? Put some rappers to shame, he can rap. He was good. He was very, very good. But since then, he think he gave his life to Christ, got saved, gave his life to Christ, and now he's preaching the gospel. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So
yes,
we need to learn how to celebrate God. We should celebrate him at all, every turn. every time we think about him, every time we think about what he's done, you know, don't let's think about the negative things. Don't let's think about the things that we just go through, but think about what he has done. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I told y'all the other night, I feel the joy. I feel the joy of the Lord, which is my strength. Hallelujah. God bless you tonight, and thank you once again for coming up. It's now 10:57. We made good time tonight. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It was a lot, but it didn't take that long.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. That's because I missed a couple of things, and I really missed a couple of things, and that is to pray in Hebrew with you. And so we bless the name of the Lord, and we thank him for his goodness and his mercy toward us. Hallelujah. For the rest of the people out there that are listening all the way from Beijing, China, all of you out there in Radio Land, God bless you. And we say tonight, Chag Sameach, glory to God. And wherever you might be celebrating tonight, glory be to God. Certainly hope that it was the most wonderful Passover for you, because Passover brought miracles. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Miracles. The children of Israel crossed over on dry land. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I said they crossed over on dry land. Glory to God. It was a miracle that was performed right at the Red Sea. And some people say, that wasn't a miracle. Yes, it was. It was a miracle. Hallelujah. You're looking at somebody who asked God one day and said, God, roll back my Red Sea of enemies. Hallelujah. And he did just glory be to God. So this story has always been at the forefront of my mind. Hallelujah. That if I don't never celebrate anything else, I will always celebrate Passover Seder. Hallelujah. It means so much to me. Glory be to God. It means so much. I don't know about nobody else personally, but that's how it affects me personally. Hallelujah. See, sometimes we have to have a personal experience with God, a personal encounter with God that you'll never forget. Hallelujah. And this is just one of those. Glory to God. And I won't forget. I say, God, roll back my Red Sea of enemies. I had some. I didn't even know. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But your girl is here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Never would I ever even thought that I would be teaching or preaching the gospel. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Never thought. Not in my wildest dreams. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So God bless you tonight. See you tomorrow night, God willing. I love you all with the love of Jesus the Christ. God bless you. I speak blessings and miracles over your lives and your homes and your families. Glory to God. God bless each and every one of you.
Amen.
Okay. Night. Night, Mother. Good night, Evangelist Harris. Good night, Brother Mark.
Good night.
Good night. Good night. Good night. Good night. Good night. Good night.